You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
This is a special edition with Yale Radio at the Venice Biennale. I'm Joan Fahrenkopf, and today we're at After the Illusion, the National Pavilion of Saudi Arabia.
Yes, Iman. Hi.
Hello,
hi.
Iman.
Nice to meet you. Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
I'm doing an interview with Yale Radio.
Well, that's good.
And today we have Iman.
Yeah.
Can you tell me your full name?
Yeah, my name is Iman Iljibrin.
Iljibrin.
Yeah, I'm an assistant professor of modern and contemporary art history in the University of Princess Nora in Riyadh.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm also an artist as well. So I was selected as a curator for this exhibition, yeah, the After Illusion exhibition, which is the pavilion of the Saudi pavilion.
Tell me more about the exhibit.
So, you know how the main theme of the Biennale was about the role of art during times of uncertainty.
Yes.
So the contribution that we wanted to add to the Biennale is that we needed to regain trust in times of uncertainty. So we wanted to remind people that times of uncertainty are also times where you get out of your comfort zone, you explore, you reach a new reality. Mm-hmm. And so the source of inspiration came from a line written by Zuhair ibn Abi Sulma, an old poet, where he was trying to recognize his home at the age of 80 after being away from it for 20 years. So it changed. So he was struggling to fight the illusions that he was having, seeing old images of the home, in order to reach reality. But only when he surrendered to these illusions, he was able to recognize the connection and finally recognize that home. So home, you know how it represents so many things to the person. So for our artist, she uses leather. She used leather for this piece because she comes from a lineage of shepherds. So trading leather is no longer a trade that is practiced in Saudi Arabia. So she needed to retransform these leathers into new things and give it a new life in order to remind herself that these also can exist and remain, you know. And then we try to play with the light and the sound and all the senses to basically inspire people and trigger certain images when they hear and they touch and they interact with the piece. And like for different people, it basically creates different images and different illusions. And and yeah, and like the choice of illusion was particularly made because people would assume illusions that's something that will always make you get lost, but it's just basically we wanted to remind people that it's also a path to reality, a new reality. And yeah, so yeah, this is what the main goal. Yeah,
the columns themselves,
yeah.
Is there any symbolism in this, in these forms that I see? There might be what, 7-8 tall,
yeah,
almost
six,
elliptical,
yeah,
columns of,
yeah,
light.
Yeah,
one is interactive, others I am
fixed. Yeah,
fixed.
And changes from warm to cool. So, for example, one of the initial feelings that I had when we first installed them is that I felt that there's a skylight opening, and then the sun is hitting, and then you would get these clouds occasionally where it gets cooler, the light, and so on. So the shapes, some of it were elliptical, but some of it is more of an organic shape. So there's nothing, it's only the way we basically try to interact with the spaces we have. Because you know how there are certain rods that part of the initial structure, we cannot remove it. So we worked around it, and really it resembles like how cultures and human lives would interact to each other, and they can coexist within the same space and create something new. It doesn't necessarily resemble anything in the past, but it's just something exciting and inspiring to experience. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your background in curation.
Yeah, well,
how you've come to this show.
Yeah.
So we can learn a little bit about you and your history.
Yeah, well, I started as an artist, and in the past I was rather disappointed when I get an international exposure, because my work will always be like my message will be marginalized within the general political agenda. So, like the continuous disappointment I was subjected to made me decide to become the curator, because the curators in the international exhibition are usually not Saudis. So they would think that this is a good thing because it creates interest in the work when they focus on the political agenda. Sometimes it has nothing to do with my work. So I felt it was taken out of context. It really disappointed me as an artist, regardless of my nationality. Yeah. So I decided to become a curator, and we created like an art group with my other friends, and we started to curate these small shows. Then because I finished my PhD in art history, modern contemporary art history, people started to approach me to help them with research on Saudi artists. And this is how I found myself in the middle. I still practice art. I'm represented by a gallery, but I managed to play all these different roles independently.
You found your niche.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to see as an outcome of this exhibition here?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I would say, from a pure artistic perspective, I would love to see people feeling happy and inspired coming out of that space. You know, this only, like, in itself is the ultimate goal. And, like, the fact that people can touch the work made them very close to it. And it had, I always say, when you touch something, you own it. So this is what I wanted them to feel, is that we need to remove that barrier, the scary space we created between people and art. So this is my ultimate goal from that space.
Coming into the show, at first, yeah, I didn't know it could be touched until one of your assistants said, yes, go touch it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah. So also, it also gives a message of trust. Like, we trust our visitors, and like some people said, don't you worry that people might steal something? They will not steal it because they feel that it's also theirs, because now they can touch it, and it's just, we need that trust in humanity, basically. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
No, we're
here today with Iman from the Saudi Arabia Pavilion, and she is curating the show at the Venice Biennale.
Yeah.
Thank you so much time today.
Thank you for your interest and your time. Thanks.
Today we have a special interview with Zahra Ala Ghamdi, and I appreciate your pronunciation clearly, if you want to restate that. This is Yale Radio at the Venice Biennale 2019. So today we're in the pavilion for Saudi Arabia, and I'd like our interpreter is
Nujood Al-Sadari. I'm part of the commissioning team.
Thank you. And our artist, and
Zahra Al Ghamdi from Saudi Arabia.
Thank you. Tell us about the exhibit.
المعرض بدأ بعد مسك مؤسسة مسك ما عرضت علي الموضوع. فهمت الموضوع أولا، وبعدين أجريت كثير من التجارب على اختيار الخامة إلى أن وصلت إلى خامة الجلد. عملت تجارب لعمل للوصول إلى فكرة يستطيع المشاهد أن يفهم موضوع المعرض. ابتكرت من قطع الجلد عدد كبير يصل إلى 50,000 قطعة لعمل عالم خيالي يستطيع الزوار أن يعيشوا هذا الخيال بأحلام يقظة وخيال يترك لهم الحرية بزوايا مختلفة، وكثير من الأسئلة التي يستطيعون أن يعيشون من خلالها وهم ماضي أو الآن أو المستقبل.
So Zahra, after she was approached to sort of initially for the Biennale, she started experimenting with materiality. She used different materials from cotton to plastic, and finally she experimented with leather to sort of come up with these forms. Leather is very sensitive to the context which is in, and this leather has been cut, sewed, manipulated to look the way it is. After sort of thinking of the title After Illusion, these these objects almost pose a question of daydreams, of something that looks like not like its origin. So it's almost this duplicity. And this is something she's trying to achieve with her work.
Tell me about the actual forms of the cylinders, the movement through this exhibit. Tell me how you see that as part of the overall exhibit.
بدأت أشكال القطع إن اخترنا شكل الدائرة لأني أنا كنت متأكد إن هذا الشكل في يعني لما نضعه في يعني في الموية الساخنة راح يتغير ويطلع شكله طبيعي وهذا اللي كنت أنا حريصة إن تطلع أشكالها عضوية بعدين بدأ النقش عليها بزخارف تمت إلى منطقة الجنوب حيث هو موطني ويرتبط بثقافة بلدي بعد ذلك الموية الساخنة غيرت في ألوانه وأشكاله حتى أصبحت القطع قد تكون حقيقية مخلوقات حقيقية تختلف أحجامها كثير ناس يشوفوها برؤى مختلفة في من يشوفها ورود في من يشوفها زي قواقع من البحر في من يشوفها مخلوقات لم يروها سابقا بعد ذلك بدأت تنتشر وتتكاثر ككائنات يعني تمشي بالأرض وتبدأ يعني تنمو على البيوت يعني تعيش عالم خيالي.
So she started experimenting with this round shape with the pieces themselves. And she found that this sort of form reacts well in the boiling water and it puffs up and it takes this sort of scale of its own. And therefore, she cut the smaller sort of incisions on the leather are all sort of nodes to the drawings you can find in the south region of Saudi, which is where Zahra is from. And then sort of they take sort of a life on their own, and she wants the viewer to experiment it in a way where they feel immersed inside this world where it almost feels like they are in between these spurs or these growths in a sense. So and also Zahra mentioned the resemblance to the corals that grow in the sea and how that realization came after she came to Venice for the first time earlier this year.
Yes.
Yeah, the forms I've heard some people who have seen the exhibit think of urchins or sea urchins, and the quality of space is if you were in the water mm-hmm. or you were inside of some other form. Do you have any idea how many pieces are in this exhibit? Yeah. It's not a fair question to ask, but it is monumental.
Exactly how
many? Yeah, 50,000 pieces.
Oh my.
If I can add to that, so 50,000 pieces that Zahra has burned and boiled and manipulated herself. So she did have a team to help her with the sewing and the cutting, but every piece was handled by her hands directly.
Tell me, what was that process, being in that process? What is it like for the artist to be in that kind of almost repetitive motion of creation of this?
دائماً يعني بالنسبة لكل أغلب الأعمال عندي دائما ترتبط بتمثيل لغة الذاكرة القصص التاريخ ثقافة اللي تمس ببلادي بثقافتي بس دائما أحاول إني أبتكر فيها بلغة معاصرة.
حكينا على كيف العمل هذه الطريقة.
بالنسبة للعمل الطريقة اللي أكدت على يعني اختياري لهذه الأشكال يعني زي ما قلنا أول إنها هي الموضوع بعد توهم كان دافع لاختيار هذه المخلوقات حاولت قدر الإمكان وأنا أشتغل على هذه القطع إن يكون عندي إحساس صادق عشان يوصل لهذه القطع يكون إحساس عالي عشان إن المشاهد لما يحضر يحس بهذا الإحساس.
Yeah, so it was really done with an intent to convey the a sensitivity. So even the person who sees these pieces gets connected to that spiritual side. So that was her process of reaching this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your time today. It's a very well-spoken piece. And thank you for being part of the Biennale.
Thank you.
This is Yale Radio. Thank you for your interest in our program.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.